Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Wrestling's Highs and Lows on the unofficial WWE Podcast. My name is Mimi Burris, and we've got a lot to get into today, so let's jump right in. So, as I advertised last week, we are going to talk about the one and only high and low for the entire year of 2020. But, with that being said, obviously there's a couple other things to talk about, too, and so we might have a couple honorable mentions here and there, but for the most part, I'm going to try to stick to one low, one high, and keep it simple this week. Before we get into that, however, let's just talk about this past week in wrestling. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know why. Maybe it was just my mood for the week, or maybe it really was the product, but I was just fairly underwhelmed. Obviously, there was some good and some bad here and there, but for the most part this week, and I don't know, there wasn't anything that made me jump out of my seat or made me want to turn the TV off. Pretty standard week in wrestling, I guess. Almost felt like a filler week. But with that being said, let's jump right into low for the week and let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Specifically, not a match or a promo or anything, but Monday Night Raw as a whole. I'm going to give the low for the week because I don't know if I should give it to Vince McMahon or if I should give it to Raw or Creative or whoever. But I don't know, I felt like the I guess the low for the week will be the John Huber, I'm never going to get that right, so I'm just going to call him Luke Harper or Brody Lee. Essentially, his tribute was my low for the week, and not because I'm cynical or whatever, but to me, the opposite side of that, really, that I thought it was very underwhelming. Like I said, I thought WWE could have done a lot more. You know, this guy was with the company for 6-7 years. I'm sure a bunch of other people have talked about it. I think it was a popular opinion amongst most WWE or just wrestling podcasts and articles and stuff all around, that it was really underwhelming, and I can't think of a better word for that. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the guy was with the company for 6-7 years, and that's pretty much what he gets. He gets a little thing in the beginning that everybody ever gets when they pass away, and then, I mean, really, it was the wrestlers who gave the real tribute, you know, Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods, you know, so I think not necessarily just because this guy was with the company for that long, but really, and even if he didn't have long title reigns or whatever, no world titles, I think the point is he was a human being, and he seemed to have meant, according to all the posts on social media from all these wrestlers from all different companies, right, he obviously meant a lot to everybody in the business. And so, you know, if not for him, for the other guys, in the locker room, I think it would have been nice to give him a little bit better of a tribute. I don't know if they would have done the 10 bells or moment of silence, I don't know, something, just something to acknowledge that this guy was important to at least the guys in the locker room, and we're paying tribute to him, because, I mean, the man died at, what was it, 41 years old, something like that? Unbelievable, right? Unbelievably sad and terrible, like, terribly tragic, but that's my low for the week. I just think WWE could have done better. You got 3 hours of television. You know, some of this stuff that was on this card, you probably could have cut something out. I don't know, The Miz versus Grand Metalik, or Shayna Baszler versus Dana Brooke. Like, you could have cut some of that stuff out and paid a little bit more of a tribute to Brody Lee, Luke Harper, John Huber, Huber. Again, I'm never going to get that right. So yeah, so that's my low for the week. And obviously, like I said, I think I said last week, rest in peace, you know, super sad, you know, all respects to his family, and we lost a great performer and clearly a great family man and a great guy just all around, according to what everybody else is saying. So moving on, I guess, to our high for the week. Again, We're gonna stick on Raw. Actually, not a lot of variety this week, I guess. But this week's high, we're gonna give to the number one contenders match, Keith Lee versus Sheamus, that kicked off the show. I think before I get into this, first of all, Sheamus, I was never like a huge fan. I don't know if it's the look or if it's the accent or something throws me off about him. I never saw like championship caliber. I think he had a good run though when I say that, but I think I even forget what year it was, but when he beat John Cena for the title in the tables match, I think he had a good run. And I think there was a couple runs with the World Heavyweight Championship and that super fast match at WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan. And I don't know. My point being is, I guess, is that I don't think Sheamus, I think it's more of a subjective point of view that Sheamus has never been my guy. But I think he is probably one of the most underrated wrestlers, you know, on the WWE roster. Because I think, especially in 2020, if you look at the work that he's done in the ring, I mean, again, he's an okay promo, but specifically the work that he's done in the ring and his ability to tell a story and do his best at least to make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken, you know what? Sheamus has done a lot for the company, and he's been a valuable part of SmackDown and Raw. And so this match is just another example of that. I think, you know, Sheamus is super snug and he's hard hitting, and then you got a guy like Keith Lee. And you could tell Keith Lee was doing a little bit more of, like, the big man style than his typical, I don't want to say high-flying, but, like, let's call it big man high-flying style. And so, when I watched this, I couldn't tell you who was going to win, which is exciting, too, and that always makes a match exciting. And I was hanging on to every hold and every move and every punch because the two guys were, you know, this was a fight. And it was, I don't know, I guess the reason it's my high for the week is because overall I really genuinely enjoyed it. The one thing I take away is that I didn't like how quickly Keith Lee kind of got up from the brogue kick before the match. I don't know, I think finishers are so underwhelming today. But I will not get on that rant, and I will just continue to praise this match rather than pick it apart. I'm excited for Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre next week on Raw, or I guess it's going to be Monday now on Raw. And I don't know, I guess, yeah, like I said, overall, I thought this was a great match, and I really can't go into much more detail than that. You know, I think this is probably one of the best matches Keith Lee has had on the main roster all year, too. So that's my high for the week, and that is your highs and lows for the entire week. Again, I guess I really wasn't too excited by this week in wrestling, so I apologize for a fairly dull, you know, high and low specifically for this week. But to get into now 2020 as a whole, we are going to get to your official highs and lows for the year, and I have done my best to try to pick out one thing or another. I guess I got to mention a thing here or there, but I have done my best to just narrow it down to one. And And I guess like we started with this week, we'll start with the low. There were a lot of things to pick from this year. I mean, 2020 was probably, at least in my opinion, has been the worst year in wrestling, period. At least in WWE specifically. AEW managed to figure out the no fans thing, I think, a lot quicker than WWE did, but and better personally. But 2020 as a whole has been pretty crappy. With that being said, let's jump right into it, like I said, and quick couple honorable mentions of a couple terrible memories of bad storylines and matches this year. I'm going to try to throw them at you quickly so we don't have to mull over this point too much, but remember Jeff Hardy and Sheamus and the bar fight and Jeff Hardy throwing his own pee at Sheamus in the ring at the Performance Center, and the uncomfortable nature of Sheamus's promos. Again, I don't think he came up with that crap, and I think he did his best to make, you know, like I said, chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, but oof, that was hard to watch. I'm just gonna leave it at that. And then there was the Rey Mysterio, Seth Rollins saga. Excuse me, Mysterio family, because for some reason, that man has continued to bring his entire family to work every day. Though they haven't been on television in a while, so, and I don't understand, I guess, Seth Rollins went away, and so did the Mysterios and Buddy Murphy. And the real crime out of all this is that Buddy Murphy is off television, because the only bright spot to this entire storyline was to see a little bit more character out of Buddy Murphy and show that he's got more talent besides just his amazing, unbelievable in-ring ability. So that's it. That's all I'm going to talk about, because there are a million other things I could mention this year that were just god-awful. But your official low for 2020 is none other than Retribution. God, what an awful, awful storyline, and what an awful thing to do to those wrestlers' careers. I mean, Dominik Dijakovic, I watched his matches with Keith Lee, and I thought that, you know, he is one of, and all of the guys in that group, and Mia Yim, that's her name, Mia Yim, all incredible wrestlers, and this is what they're stuck with, this poor, terribly thought-out storyline, hot-shotting to get ratings because we can't come up with real storylines. Oh my god, it was just so terrible. I guess to break it down real quick, we had the beginning of it. There were a bunch of masked people throwing, what is it called, Molotov cocktails at a generator, and, you know, attacking referees and the NXT trainees and the superstars and breaking down the ring with a chainsaw. And I also feel like I've never heard anyone talk about this. That chainsaw to the ropes was like super, again, not to overuse the word, but like underwhelming. It seemed really weak. Like I, even in the promo when they tried to like use it again and make it look more intense, I just thought it looked, I don't know, like you couldn't have made a chainsaw breaking something look, you know, weaker. Anyways, like I digress, but I think we can all agree that Retribution has been probably one of the worst storylines in WWE in history. This is a perfect example of hotshotting and not having an endgame. I like the one thing maybe that they did is they tied up that loose knot. I forget the expression. Whatever. They tied up that thing. For Mustafa Ali being the SmackDown hacker, which was actually an intriguing storyline, so I wish they just ran with that. But instead, they gave us a bunch of terrible creative, ruining these wrestlers' careers, and then they brought Mustafa Ali down with them. So I don't think I need to go in any more on Retribution. I'm sure you've all heard a million rants about Retribution and how terrible that storyline was. But that is my official low for 2020. God, they're terrible. Terrible. And it's so sad because you look at the talent between Ricochet and Mustafa Ali in the ring. Those two put on 5-star matches on Raw that doesn't even get put on like the Hulu version. Unbelievable. Just probably one of the worst crimes that WWE has ever produced. All right, anyways, done with that. Move on to the official high for 2020. Again, this is subjective, totally just my opinion, but I am going to have to give the high to Edge's return at the beginning of this year at the Royal Rumble. What a moment. Without a doubt, my high for the year. I mean, I have not heard a pop like that in a long time. I think some people, it was leaked that he might be coming back, but still just like the organic emotion of the fans. And this is when obviously fans were still in the arena, and that arena was huge. And it was a beautiful moment. The Edge's eyes are like magic, you know, to see him be so emotional about being able to be back in the ring. And that moment he had with Randy Orton, and the way he looked too. I mean, he looked in better shape than I'd ever seen him. Just a beautiful moment in WWE this year that in an overall pretty crappy year for wrestling, a moment we can look back on. And I'd still get chills when they show replays of that. I still get chills. The follow-up, the feud with Randy Orton, touch and go, good moments, bad moments. But I think if I'm picking anything specifically, it is that moment again in January, Royal Rumble, Edge's return. I mean, again, I have not felt emotion like that in wrestling or seen it on the screen, too. I mean, Edge doesn't have to say anything. He can tell the entire story with his eyes. It was magic. So, yeah, that's my high and my low for the year and my high and my low for the week. Before we sign off, of course, I want to just make sure I remember to mention my random match recommendation for the week. Yeah, this one's a little bit of an oddball, but I guess they all kind of are, and that's the appeal. Yeah, your random match recommendation for the week is the 2018 Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. I totally forgot about this match, and when I watched it back, I was blown away. I couldn't understand why I hadn't remembered this. I thought these women did an amazing job in this match. In my opinion, it's the best women's match, best women's Money in the Bank match so far. Easy win over this year's. But I was even at last year's Money in the Bank too, and when Bayley won, and that was incredible to watch. But in my opinion, this one takes the cake so far. So totally recommend you guys go watch it again. Money in the Bank 2018 women's match, women's Money in the Bank match. And that's all for me this week, guys. I hope you had a wonderful last week of your 2020, and thank God it was that. And hope you guys have a great start to your 2021. Happy holidays, happy new year, and I will talk to you next week.